It's a big show. Oh, it's a big band show tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. I'm Tim and I'm joined by Tanner. Tanner, how are you?
I'm doing well today. It's weird. The same weather today as there was last week's episode. It's kind of weird.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We're live from Center Stage in Atlanta.
Wow, you flew a long way.
I did. I talked to Uncle Paul and he was able to get us in where he could do a really good recording. So we're going to continue our WrestleMania talk. After last week's episode where we talked about, I think, a match that in hindsight has really stood the test of time and has gotten better, I think, in a lot of ways. And that was the Evolution versus Rock and Sock Connection from WrestleMania 20. But now we're talking about a match that literally coming into it was perhaps the biggest, I would say, overall draw. Not just wrestling draw, but overall draw that WWE had probably ever produced to that point. And that's including all the stuff in the first couple of WrestleManias that included Mr. T and the Bam Bam Lawrence Taylor match, all that stuff. Mike Tyson's involvement, which was big, but this is an actual match.
Yeah, I was about to say Mike Tyson never wrestled. If Mike Tyson had wrestled, maybe different, but.
But it's about to hit its 10-year anniversary, and it is from WrestleMania 24. And it is the best fighter in the world versus the biggest athlete in the world. And it is the Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather in a no-holds-barred match, anything-goes match. I'll be upfront. You know, Floyd Mayweather, not the best human being. We're going to just put that out there right now. He is not the best human being, especially in light of what's happened since his match. But this is literally like we're going to focus so much on the Big Show in this match because this – if you want to talk about like Hall of Fame candidacy or his status as one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, which you and I both agree, he is vastly underrated in that aspect. This is absolutely. One of those things – this is one of those things you can turn to and be like, yeah, this guy, he deserves all the praise in the world because of this match. Because, look, this is one of the greatest single performances in the history of WrestleMania. And Big Show doing what he does in this match is really incredible. And it's done in a way that nobody else could even possibly do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you could have had nobody else in Big Show's position here, and this match worked as well as it did from that perspective. Not only, I mean, obviously you have the whole, like, can Mayweather beat the world's, you know, largest athlete? And then you have, you know, Floyd Mayweather is an actual boxer who's, you know, undefeated at the time, obviously. What was his record? 39-0, maybe 40-0?
Correct.
He was
39.
Yeah, 39-0. So he was way into the undefeated streak that still, you know, holds true today. And it's one of those things where, again, kind of like last week, could have really only have happened at this time in both of these guys' careers. Which it's baffling. It's baffling to me that this match is about to be 10 years old because this whole card was the first WrestleMania I ever watched live, WrestleMania 24. Yeah. And I remember at the time, because, you know, I was a kid. I was like 12 years old. I'm like, I don't care about Mayweather versus Big Show. But when the match was over, I'm like, damn, I wish Big Show would have won. And then obviously watching it with, you know, the little bit of knowledge I've gained since, I'm like, God, I mean, this is really just a masterful performance on Big Show's part. And Mayweather plays his part well. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But Big Show is the guy in this match.
Yeah, and the way this match is laid out, it basically is Show being, you know, basically saying, look, you just need to bring the charisma and you need to be able to bring, you know, the gravitas that's natural to him. You just need to be you and I'll basically take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. And I, like you said, that's not to say Mayweather doesn't do his part, but boy, like the things that Show does in this match, the way that he really gets across that he can do whatever he wants to Floyd, literally whatever he wants to do to him. And he does it in these really just kind of like the way he goes on offense, the way he transitions on offense. Look, I just have to really give it to show. He does things in this match that I think in just a regular, you know, professional wrestling setting, like it's like I think you're looking at, oh, that's really neat. That's really cool stuff. But he understood exactly how and exactly when to make the big moments matter in this match. And it's incredible how he does it. The first thing I just think about in this match, anytime that it happens, is when he starts to target Floyd's hands and the first miss stomp, which is just like, yeah, I know what you got. If I take those away, you don't have anything against me. And then a couple minutes later, when one stomp actually connects, first off, Floyd sells it like a badass. Like, that's like one of the better sell jobs I've ever seen. But it's just like, it just shows you right off the start that Big Show knew exactly how to lay this thing out and really put on a performance that I don't think anybody in the history of WrestleMania has ever had. Like, Roddy Piper didn't have this with Mr. T. Orndorff, Orton, Hogan did not have this with Mr. T. Bam Bam and Lawrence Taylor was semi-close, but I think it pales in comparison in a lot of ways. But Big Show just, he does so many great things in this match. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah, and not to even mention the whole build-up to the match, you know, with Floyd breaking Show's nose. It's like, that doesn't even, like, the build-up was great, and the match not only lived up to the hype that the mat that they were building up to, it exceeded it. Like, WrestleMania 24 to me is such a weird card, because there's obviously you have Sean Flair, which is arguably the one of the most emotional moments in a WrestleMania history. I would put Flair's retirement up there with like Bryan winning the world title at WrestleMania 30. Like, it's that strong, especially one of the last visuals of the match of Sean going, I'm sorry, I love you, and hitting the sweet chin. I mean, we can talk about that match some other time. But, and then you have Taker Edge that goes on right after this, which again is a classic. And then you have this match, which in my opinion should be held up to, if not at those standards, at least right below those standards. Because to me, this match is, I like this match more than Edge Taker. I'm just going to get that out there right now. And I think this match is a bona fide classic. Probably a top 10 WrestleMania match ever.
I'd have to go back and read the specifics, but you know, I'm friends with Eric Ritz at Segunda Caída, and I've read what him and Phil Schneider and Matt D and all those guys have been doing for years and years and years. And when this match came out, and I've respected, you know, the way Phil writes about wrestling for a long time, but when this came out, I think he said specifically this was the greatest match in WrestleMania history. And And it's really funny, but like as time goes on, you know, and you think about some of the best matches in WrestleMania history, like I think if you're thinking of the prototypical WrestleMania match, I don't think you get better than this. There are great wrestling matches on WrestleMania cards. I think there are great storyline payoffs on WrestleMania cards. But I think if you're talking about what WrestleMania means and what the history of it has meant and what the hope has always been for this type of event, I don't think you're going to find a better example of what a WrestleMania match is than this match. I really don't. I don't see the argument.
I mean, you're right. I mean, because WrestleMania is supposed to be the showcase of the immortals. That's been their whole thing for 34 years now. But to do that, like, sometimes you just need that outside star power to really put over, like, everybody wants to be at WrestleMania. It's kind of this thing they're doing with Rousey this year, where they're like, you know, obviously, I don't know if a mix match is the best use of her, but, like, that match is getting a lot of attention. And it's one of those things where this match got a lot of mainstream attention at the time. And you also have to think, this is 2008. Like, WWE did not have the best PR year in 2007. Like, just...
No, they did not. Not like just throwing it out there. They had a lot to try and come back from. Yeah, that's 100% correct. Yeah.
So this like got them back in the mainstream, but for good reasons. They're like, oh wow, you know, Floyd Mayweather is wrestling at WrestleMania, and WWE treated this as, I mean, this was the next to last match on the card. This was, for all intents and purposes, a main event match, and it's kind of insane. And the fact that it's no disqualification allows for a lot of, obviously allows for Mayweather's entourage to get involved, and Big Show gets to beat the shit out of those guys, which is fantastic. Like, yes, he I mean, he looks like a beast in this match. I mean, I would say the best Big Show performance ever. I would have to have a list of them in front of me, but this is at bare minimum top three Big Show performance ever.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I'm such a huge fan of that Eddie Guerrero SmackDown match. I think that as far as like he has, I don't know if he has a template, but he has a way he loves to work with those kind of smaller, faster wrestlers, and I really love that match. But I think there's also this great lead up to it as part of it where he beats up on cruiserweights. Like, that's what he does leading up to it, because he wants to fight guys that are Mayweather size. And there's this great just like 2 month run of him just running over guys who are going to bump huge for his offense. And it's just insane. But yeah, like Big Show in this match, he does his most simple offense. There isn't anything to it. It is like, you know, like prototypical big man offense. Side slam, big chop, choke slam. Like the stuff that you are normally, you know, you're normally associated. He does the things where he stands on Floyd's back or steps over him. Like those, just those great super heavyweight giant spots, you know. But he just knows when to do them. And the entourage stuff that you mentioned earlier, like I love that stuff because, like, so the spot I mentioned earlier, for example. So he finally gets it. He stomps on Floyd's left hand, and it's like this great, like, you hear the gasp from the crowd when it happens. Like, they're like, oh crap. Like he's done. And that's how a show goes back on offense. But I really am just amazed, like, even in retrospect, just how much, like, and I don't know how much, like, they were told to do this. I don't know how much they were booked in the match. But, like, the entourage adds to the match. You don't get that normally, where dudes on the outside, like that, like, add to a match like that. But like you say, they bump big for him. They take a lot of offense in ways that, like, Floyd either, I don't know if they're going to allow him to take, but they're like, yeah, we'll take a choke slam off the apron or whatever it is. We'll freaking bump over the top rope for him. It's like they do stuff in this match, and Floyd takes punishment in this match in a way that, like, the collective, you just come off as Big Show looking like the most unbeatable force ever. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, there's a spot in the match where Big Show, like, teases a choke slam on Floyd, and, you know, watching it back now, you're like, there's no way Mayweather's going to take a damn choke slam. Like, that would kill him. And then, you know, a member of the entourage comes up, hits Show in the back with a chair. It allows Mayweather to kind of, you know, recover and set up for the finish, but also still allows Big Show to look dominant because he beats up, like, seven dudes.
Yeah.
And it's like realistic. It's not like over the top zany. It's just like Big Show's like, all right, y'all screwed now, and he just goes for it, and it's great.
Yeah, I do just enjoy the fact that the way this match was laid out, I don't think you're gonna get a better layout possible between these two guys. You get to show early on that Floyd is going to be able to stick and move, and he's just going to be able to avoid whatever Show tries to do to chase him down. Like, I just thought that was really good, because it shows you right off the start that while Floyd is 100% outsized here, he's basically a third of the Big Show size in this match, that he still is like, yeah, but you have to catch me first. And Show is obviously not one of those guys who's trying to catch him. But then the frustration of Show going after the entourage instead, basically just like, screw that. Like, if your boys want to get involved and, like, let you drink from the chalice and, like, show that, yeah, like, I don't care, I'm going to be able to whoop up on you whatever you want. Okay, I'm going to knock him out. And he does. Like, one of those, the guy who holds the chalice takes a shot and bumps to the floor in a way where you're like, is that like, did they like plant a worker with Mayweather's entourage or something like that? And then the next guy gets flipped over and just gets his ass whooped. Like, I love that idea that the only way to get it in Floyd's head was to make his entourage kind of take a beating. And then that allowed, you know, Mayweather to get a little overzealous, and that's how the show came on offense. And again, and I think this is another 100% underrated part of this match, is that it's amazing how Floyd, I think, adapts to this, to the way that this match, I think, was, I would say, was to the, to like the scene, to the setting of this match.
Yeah.
Like obviously they had worked some things out beforehand, but like he comes off as the biggest entertainer in the world. Like he literally is the biggest box office draw for combat sports in the world at this point. And this is him showing that it didn't matter if it was pro wrestling, it didn't matter if it was boxing. He's like, I'm still Floyd Mayweather. I'm still going to show why I'm the best. Like it is, I think that even though, you know, his business is not the way it was back in 08, at the time, like, I think I just came out of this saying, holy crap, like, Vince should throw all the money in the world at Floyd to come and wrestle. And like, literally watching this back, I'm like, can we get Floyd on 205 Live? Like,
oh, my God.
I literally thought that. Can he run in and win the Cruiserweight Championship? Like, I literally, I am. Like, if I didn't think he was a you know, an asshole and all the stuff he'd done personally, like, and he was just boxer asshole as opposed to piece of shit asshole, like, Floyd could be the big, like, the perhaps one of the biggest draws in the history of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so weird because this match should not work as well as it does. Like,
no,
like, we've seen people come in before and just, you know, be lazy, but Floyd eats this shit up. I mean, he plays to the crowd, and it has to do with the fact that he had this natural charisma. But I mean, he feeds off the crowd. Like, he does all, you know, the classic boxer stuff. The stuff with the chalice is genius in the match. Yeah. And then the finish of the match, while protecting Floyd, also protects Big Show, because you're like, well, it took like 9 of you to beat me. And it's,
right.
But it also is like, Floyd's like, okay, that was a hard fight for Floyd. I personally wished that it would have counted for his record. It would have gave him the 40-0. Like, just because of how batshit insane, like, yeah, this worked knockout over Big Show with brass knuckles was my 40th, you know, win of my boxing career. I wish it could have happened like that. And it's weird because Big Show, you know, is not a stranger to these weird non-pro wrestling matches at WrestleMania. I mean, he did a sumo match with Akebono at WrestleMania. Right. Like, this wasn't uncharted territory for him. And the sumo match is actually really good sumo, despite it going like 20 seconds or whatever. But and then this match is just like out of this world perfection. I love this match. I mean, right now, if I had to rank WrestleMania matches, this match is in at least my top 10.
Yeah, and for me, I think that one of the couple underrated things about this match, so people who may or may not know going in, but Show did have boxing training. Like, there was a time in his career where he was thinking about stepping away from wrestling and try to become like a super heavyweight boxer.
Yeah.
Which was a thing. And this was when Show was 500 pounds. So he really had to work hard to get there. But on top of that, there's also this aspect of Show being a kind of an attraction. This was the first time, I think, me personally as a fan, this kind of made me feel like he was truly Andre-esque, like, not just in stature, but as an attraction. Because this, to be able to take a guy who's not a wrestler, but has the charisma, and say, okay, you're going to be able to break my nose. You're going to be able to, I'm going to put you over, right? This is me knowing that you're the guy here. I'm not the guy, right? But also understand what it means to make it entertaining, make it worthwhile, make it something people are going to remember. There's a reason we're talking about this match 10 years after it happens, yeah. Right? It's like he understood that moment, and it is, like I said, if Floyd wasn't a piece of shit and did what he did the last couple of years, this match would be remembered way more fondly and would be like when Big Show goes into the Hall of Fame, will be the thing I think that is going to be the biggest part of his career. Like, this is the cap that really the feather in his cap, so to speak. Yeah. And I do feel that, you know, Show is still 100% underrated. I am kind of shocked at that. I think he's unquestionably the best big man worker of all time. I understand that people see Vader as a guy that works that well. We've talked about Vader on this podcast, but like Big Show has, while he hasn't done it in his quote unquote many styles, Vader doesn't have this match with Floyd Mayweather at his peak. And he's worked with Takada and Tamura and all those, you know, shoot style workers.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just amazed at how 10 years later that WWE, for all the resources they've tried in trying to make themselves mainstream, they have still not figured out a way to book a competent wrestling match or wrestling style match like they've booked this match. I know they have Rousey in the mixed tag coming up, but she's going to be protected to the point where I don't think it's going to be nearly as big a deal, because Angle and Triple H are going to do the heavy lifting in that match. Mm-hmm. But man, like, I wish they could figure out a way to do something like this again, but I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get there.
Yeah, it's one of those things now where, and also I don't feel like there's really, I mean, I guess you can argue McGregor is that level of draw, I guess. Like, as Mayweather was in 2008, I think McGregor would be this decade's version of that. But then you're like, who do you would possibly put up against McGregor? There's not a, I mean, do you do it against Braun? Like, do you have McGregor knock out Braun? Like, that would, because here's the thing. Wrestling fans in 2018, 2019 have a lot more internet access than wrestling fans in 2008. And people would legitimately be livid if Braun Strowman, who is possibly the most over big man in wrestling history, obviously has a huge following, lost to Conor McGregor, who sure is popular in the sport of UFC, but a lot of people don't like Conor McGregor, and that shit would not fly at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, is that Big Show, I think, for all the criticisms that people have thrown his way, he's never above doing business.
Yeah,
like, he's never been above it. Like, he's like, okay, I don't mind going over. Yeah, or, you know, I don't mind putting somebody else over if it's the right situation, if it's booked the right way. And that's kind of the thing. It's like, it's just incredible. This is one of the, it is the best crossover thing that WWE has ever done, without a doubt. Like, there's nothing close to this. And as far as Big Show performances go, like I said, you know, I think the Mark Henry stuff at the peak of their feud was great. I think that the Eddie Guerrero stuff was great. I think his Braun stuff, when people look back at his Braun stuff as putting him over big, I think you're going to see that as his peak type
the
stuff.
The Roman Last Man Standing match was phenomenal. That,
I think his ECW run as a, like, being booked as a true monster for the first time, I think, in his WWE career. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a big thing too. But this is his peak. This is his pinnacle as a professional wrestler. And I feel that now, looking back on it, I think that people think, you know, when people think about, you know, when he does he has retired, it's been a soft retirement. And that's another thing. He's like, yeah, I'm retired. I don't care. I don't need a big, you know, retirement ceremony on my way out or what have you. This is who he is. He's like, did I do good business? Yeah. Was I the second biggest draw on the biggest card of the year in 2008? I sure as hell was. And you could argue he was the biggest draw. He was part of the biggest draw on that card in 2008. I'd have to kind of think about it, but there was a part of me that wanted him to get consideration for Flair Thez back when I gave a damn about the Wrestling Observer Awards back in 08, because I don't think anybody did a better bit of business in WWE at that time. But man, like, I hope people remember this as a way of showing just how great Big Show was, because I don't see it with any other person that could have had this match with.
Oh no, this match could. I mean, look at it. I mean, WWE had a lot of big men at this time. They had Kali, they had Kane, they had Mark Henry. And while I like to love all three of those, I think Mark Henry is, you know, a phenomenal wrestler. They couldn't have had this match with Mayweather. Like it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, and you know, one other thing about the finish that we didn't mention is I love how he got the brass knucks. They were a chain that one of his entourage was wearing, and he ripped it off him. Like, I think that is brilliant. That's one of the greatest things that this match has going for it, was that, you know, Floyd had the ingenuity to use that against Big Show to finally knock him out. I just come away from this match just amazed at what Show did. Just absolutely amazed, because it is unlike anything else anybody else has ever done or has done since. And I'm very happy to go back and rewatch this match. It'd been a while since I've seen it, but just knowing that Show really, I think, understood that this was his biggest moment at a WrestleMania to date in the WWE, and he made it count in a way that nobody else has done since.
Yeah. So. I mean, he had world title matches at WrestleManias after this. Yeah. I still think this is his biggest WrestleMania moment ever, by far.
There's no question about it. And that just kind of shows you, it's like, you know, he was a special attraction for a reason. And this was his bona fide best special attraction match, and the best special attraction match in the history of the WWE. I don't think it's even close. So
no, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, grit and Barrett through Floyd Mayweather being a piece of crap in the last couple of years, but man, just I just watch it for Show. Watch how he just makes every little moment count because of how much he could truly hurt Floyd Mayweather in the right situation. And man, just really eat it all up, because it is phenomenal. It really is. So. Yep.
And it's like 11 minutes.
Yes. Yes, it is. Very, very, very good stuff. And definitely worth rewatching as we're about the 10-year anniversary of that match too. So, I mean, Tanner, another good one. We're WrestleMania ready, I think. For WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. Yeah,
absolutely. About 4 hours from my house, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah. Very interesting show this year. Some very, very good things. It's going to be like 22 hours long. So,
I expect it to be the whole day Sunday. Like it's going to be like the Super Bowl. Like, here's our 12 hours of pregame coverage. Here's our 2 hour pre-show, and here's the 6 hour show.
It's going to happen. So be ready for it, guys. But yeah, so hope you guys enjoy it and love the WrestleMania. And we hope that there's something that we get a chance to talk about 10 years down the road as much as we have this one. So, what can people do to find you on the interwebs, Tanner?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Tanner1495, and I also co-host another podcast called the All You Can Hear podcast. We're on Twitter at AYCH Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. We talk about pretty much everything. You'll probably like it. Go check it out. Good stuff.
I'm at Mr. Tim Livingston and at PPW Petaluma on the Twitter to check out what's going on with Phoenix Pro Wrestling, our next show May 4th, and we'll have the card up for that pretty soon, so check us out there. So we'll be back next week with another look back at another timely match. We'll keep that in the bin for right now, but we hope you guys will join us then. Until then, we'll see you next time.
See ya.
It's like 4 to the 5, 5 to the 6. I hate haters all in my mix. It's like 6 to the 7, 7 to the 8. I got some know me to set these boys straight. It's like 8 to the 9.